Okay, so today's talk is going to be about pure air. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today safely. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit so the words that come out of my mouth might touch the ears that need to hear it, and that we might understand the scriptures and the prophecy we're going to look into today a little bit better with clearer understanding. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So today's talk is about pure air. Now, we need air for everything. Oxygen is the most critical molecule that we need to live. In the scriptural, starting off Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust. On the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, when we breathe through our noses, we get 80% more oxygen than we do when we breathe through our mouths. So, it's because of all the membranes in your nose and the filtration system. We'll look into it in a minute, but there's like a whole, your mucosal nasal passage is full of things that do a lot of helpful things for you. And you also expel the same amount, 80% more. Whereas if you breathe through your nose and you exhale through your mouth, you're breathing in 80%, but you're only getting rid of, it's like between 50 and 60% of the CO2. So you're leaving a lot of garbage behind. So I didn't know that either till a few days ago when I was really looking into it. Ezekiel 37:5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So again, breathing, I'm assuming he breathed through his nose, nostrils again. In Job 12:10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. Then Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So those are the four that stood out to me. Now there are probably, when you Google breath or breathing, when you put it into your eSword or whatever Bible app you're using, you'll find that there is well over 30 verses when it comes to breath. So now the Spirit of Prophecy, this is from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 702. Air, the precious boon of heaven, which all may have, will bless you with its invigorating influence if you will not refuse it, its entrance. Welcome it, cultivate a love for it, and it will prove a precious soother of the nerves. So we know that if we breathe, you know, steady and stay calm and with our breathing, and we're kind of not focused on what's irritating us, it will bring our blood pressure down, it will bring our tempers down, it'll bring a lot of things, you know, down, you know, low. It's actually really good for your brain for breathing. It's really good for your temper, and it's excellent for your blood pressure. So air must be in constant circulation to be kept pure. The influence of pure fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthfully through the system. So you have 75 trillion red blood cells in your body. So, and that's what they attach to oxygen. Now it's a weaker bond, so it can let go. And then it attaches to carbon dioxide, and then you exhale it. Carbon monoxide is a strong bond, which is why when you get carbon monoxide poisoning, you can drown and you can suffocate. Because the bond is strong, it doesn't want to let go. So it binds up all the hemoglobin you have in your body. We'll talk about hemoglobin a little more when we get into diet on the last talk of the 8 Laws of Health, because the hemoglobin and the molecular structure of a plant that circulates its juices is identical. The only difference is the center. So the center is attached to a CO2 on a plant, and it's O2 in us. So it's almost identical, like they were designed for each other. Okay, so opioid system. It refreshes the body and tends to render it strong and healthy, while at the same time, its influence is decidedly felt upon the mind. Like I just said, it helps you think, helps you clear up everything. Imparting a degree of composure and serenity. It excites the appetite. It renders the digestion of food more perfect and induces sound and sweet sleep. So breathing, deep, pure air is very, very, very beneficial. So oxygen, like I said before, every part of our body requires oxygen. Now, this goes back to the diabetic talk. When you have your cell and you have insulin unlocks and lets glucose in so it can start breaking down this glucose in the pyruvate. Once the glucose is broken down in the pyruvate, it's either taken to an 8-step pathway or a 20-step pathway. Now, the 8-step pathway is anaerobic. It doesn't require any oxygen. And it gives you, I think it's 6 units of energy, right? Now, the 20-step pathway gives you 36 units of energy. So it's a big, big difference. So it's very, very, very beneficial. Now, resting breathing, we take in 500 mil of air and we expel 500 mil of air when we're breathing at rest. Now, when we are exercising, it's 3,600 mil of air. So we're able to, expand our lungs to full capacity of what we need, our body to, exert at that time. We're pushing our body. Like I said before, it's the most vital element needed in the human body. So what does oxygen do? It invigorates, it electrifies the cells, like we showed here, and it soothes the nerves. So it can lower your blood pressure, invigorate, it wakes you up, it keeps you alert. I think if I quote Barbara O'Neill on this, she said that if you get every one of your cells in your body to go through the oxygen pathway, and you're producing 36 units of energy for every molecule pyruvate in your body, and your cells, just everything, you just want to come out of your skin. You're going to have so much energy. You're not going to know what to do with it. So now, yeah, we all do. Now, not enough oxygen causes hypoxia, which leads to fatigue, lethargy, nausea, and headache, which is chronic fatigue syndrome. So that's what not enough oxygen causes. Now, we have two types of oxygen. We have first we have negatively ion charged oxygen. Oxygen in its state wants to have a negative charge, which is the atoms. Help me out, Woody. It's protons and electrons. And right, so electrons are the negatives, protons are the positive. So you want, and generally oxygen has two more negative electrons, which makes it negative, which makes it, we'll see in a minute, a lot more beneficial to us. negative ions, the negative oxygen ions come from electrically charged oxygen molecules. Three things need to be present: moisture, movement, and air. So thunderstorms, ocean waves, waterfalls, and pine forests. So the pine forests, there's so many needles on a pine tree that when the air blows through and they're full of moisture, it just makes these negative negatively charged oxygen molecules. So then there's the positive side is, you know, it has more CO2 than O2. It's before thunderstorms, so when the air is really heavy, really dense. It's in cities. People produce it when we're breathing. What I didn't put up there is animals in the house produce it. So if you have, because we're all, the animals are carnivores, right? So they feed them meat all the time. Doesn't matter if it's in a can or if it's pretend meat, it's still meat, and they're going to breathe off a lot of carbon, CO2, carbon dioxide. So people, cigarette smoke, car exhaust, and mold. Mold and is a really, really bad to inhale. No. It's side effects, right? Of the positive ions in the right. So the benefits of negatively charged oxygen: after inhalation of negative ions in high doses for 30 minutes, we have a 20% increase in oxygen absorption and a 14.5 increase in carbon dioxide emission. So it really helps clean our body out. So now here, if you look up top at the nasal mucosa, which is right above the vestibule, which would be the entry point in the nose, what this does is it's threefold. It prevents pathogens from getting in your body. It prevents dehydration, and it is the third thing. Right. Yes, it does moisturize. It humidifies the air that you breathe. And the temperature and moisture regulation is what it does. So if you think about it right now, what's the temp air in here? 70, 75, 76 degrees. Well, our bodies are between 98, 6 and, 99 degrees all the time. So our lungs are, fragile. They don't like, anything different than what's, what our internal body temperature is. So that does that. Now, one place I used to fly into and work is Churchill Falls, Canada. It's way up north. It's probably an hour south of the Arctic Circle. I got off the plane there one time in June and it was snowing. So it's cold. So there in the wintertime, it's well below zero. And if you breathe that cold air in, then it's going to damage your lungs. So it helps from that. Like Woody said, it humidifies the air when it's coming through. So, and you're also breathing off oxygen or water. I'm sorry. When you breathe out, it's part of the emission. So you breathe out water, you sweat out water. It's not the only place you lose it. So the other thing it does, like I said, it stops bacteria, viruses, other pathogens from entering the lungs. It's the first defense point, right? So it produces mucus, your nasal mucosal lining, produces mucus, and they get stuck in the mucus, right? Then after it gets stuck in the mucus, I know it sounds kind of disgusting, but when you swallow your mucus or your loogie or whatever, it goes into your stomach, and then your stomach acid takes care of the rest of it. What was the third thing? Right. I said, yeah, warms, and I talked about all three already. Yep. All right. So then you go down into here. That at the end of those tips, I know this picture didn't come out very good, is areoli. at the end of those tips. So it's thousands of little bumps, bubbles, right? So, but on the outside of the bubbles is a complete lymphatic system. So this is your second line of defense. If anything passes your nasal mucosa and gets into your lungs, there are macrophages, which are cells that eat bacteria inside your body, bacteria or viruses or anything abnormal that it doesn't recognize, that it gets flagged by your immune system as soon as it comes through, and they will consume them. So now your lungs are, like I said, very fragile. They are very essential. Like I said, we lose a lot of our lung capacity as we age. So when we turn 50 years old, I think there's a study that says we lose between 20 and 30% of our lung capacity, but you can get it back by exercising. You can get it back. Yes, yeah, deep breathing helps too. So Barbara O'Neill says a lot Pilates help. I just kind of breathe really deep through my, try to breathe deep through my nose and then out my nose and not my mouth as much as I can. But we've been doing it so long that is a very, very hard habit to break. Right, like Diane said last week, you know, sir, I was having problems when I was exercising up in the room. Now, as we've just been so accustomed to, we think that it's, you know, bad to breathe through our nose, or we don't think we're getting enough oxygen in through our nose, but we actually are. So I, well, yeah. Yeah, sometimes the allergies will get you. So, but yes, so, but like I said, we can rejuvenate our lungs to get, you know, up to full capacity again by exercising and by breathing techniques. So I think this is the respiratory system. Every cell in the human body needs to get a hold of oxygen and get rid of carbon dioxide. These gases are transported around the body in the blood, like we talked about earlier. But the actual transfer of gases between the air and the blood occurs in the lungs. The lungs have an extremely thin membrane that allows the gases to pass across easily. But air needs to be regularly drawn in and out of the lungs to expel the building carbon dioxide and to bring in fresh air, fresh oxygen. And this is brought about by respiration, commonly known as breathing. Now, this, your lungs have to constantly have something in them. So there's always a 10% volume inside your lungs so they don't collapse. If there's not, I can't remember, it starts with an S, I can't remember the name of it. But there's some sort of substance that remains in your lungs all the time. It's some premature babies are born without it. And I have to Google it. I just had it on my mind. Anyways, I can edit it and add it in later. They will collapse. Now your lungs are encased with, just like your heart's in amniotic fluid. You have a sac around your heart, you have the same thing around your lungs, and they're very elastic to keep them from rupturing. So it's got to be just like a balloon inside of you. Now, I think that's all I had on this. This was a short one. What's that? Yes, but it's like Pilates, deep breathing, some sort of meditating breathing. I would do it, you know, when I'm meditating with God and praying, because, I mean, you go down, there's other rabbit holes you can jump down with yoga, but that takes you to bad places. So,
if there's something specific that
Well, so Pilates is what you know, some Seventh-day Adventists, like I said, Barbara O'Neill recommended. So outside of that, I don't know, besides, you know, meditating with God. When I do my HIIT exercising every morning, because I kind of switched my schedule up a little bit, I'm trying something new. When I do that in the morning, I breathe deep for 30 seconds in my nose and out my nose. So, but when I'm doing that, and then I can feel it when I'm done doing my exercise and I do the same thing, you can actually feel your lungs actually fill up. So you can feel it once you know, get going, and it actually feels really good. So I wouldn't think, and like Woody said, you know, diaphragm breathing is the best breathing to do. And it's what singers train the diaphragm breathe all the time. It's breathing from your abdomen.
So here's another question
I was
asking.
Yeah, your body will acclimate to whatever situation it's in. Now, if you're there, I don't know, some people might have a negative reaction when they get there and then they can't function, but where other people do. But
I've seen that happen to people. Like when I was in, you just react to it.
Right, and the other two things would be your diet and, you know, what kind of shape your body's in. So if you're in excellent tip-top, you know, athlete shape, you know, these guys go in, the basketball players go in, the baseball players and football players go into Denver all the time, and they complain about it. So, right. Yep, and the guys that play there every day, they're acclimated to it, so they're good. So I guess it's the longer you're exposed to it. So you can expose yourself to it here going up in a hot air balloon. So if you got one. So does anybody have anything else? Well, I'll close this one out. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for the information that you gave us tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for safe travels home. In Jesus' precious name, amen.